this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig.
Tesno zaprte oči, široko odprti čuti. Prejšnji teden se je odvil peti festival eksperimentalnih audiovizualnih praks, krajše VFX, ki nam je postregel zelo raznolikim, da ne rečemo spektakularnim programom. Tekom petih dni smo lahko doživeli najrazličnejše eksperimentalne filme, AV performance, VR razstavo in celo impromptu glasbeni večer. Tako vsebinsko kot formalno se je festival letos ukvarjal z odnosom med preteklostjo in prihodnostjo. Tega je sklopi, je to preteklost, je to prihodnost in je to brezčasno, neposredno odseval trodelni program Razgledi. Ta se je posvečal starim in novim formalnim pristopom k eksperimentalnem filmu, kot tudi vsebinskemu sovpadanju z duhovi preteklosti in strahovi prihodnosti. Festivalski program je med drugim nagovarjal vprašanja informacijske dobe, umetne inteligence, uničevanja okolja za voljo izkoriščanja naravnih virov ter kolonializma v Avstraliji in Palestini. V drugem današnjem kinobaru boste slišali intervju s francoskim interdisciplinarnim umetnikom in skladateljem Armandom Lesekom, ki je na festivalu VFX gostoval s svojim audiovizualnim performancem Fosfen. Beseda Fosfen zaznamuje pojav videnja ob odsotnosti svetlobe, ki nastopi, ko si pomanemo oči in ob tem vidimo oblike in barve. Tudi sam performance raziskuje prostor med objektivnim in subjektivnim, med zaznavanjem dejanskih vizualnih in zvočnih dražljajev ter našim odzivom na nje, torej dodatnimi zaznavami, ki jih ustvari naš um. Avtor sam pri tem govori o subjektivnem filmu za zaprte oči. Zaradi pomembnosti subjektivne izkušnje gledalca boste ob intervjuju z Armandom lahko prisluhnili tudi vtisom George Lucy Ignal in Kaloma Cusicka. Sogovorca sta na festival pripotovala iz Tasmanije kot ustvarjalca filmov v programu sodobnega avstralskega videa in filma Sestavljene pokrajine. Sedaj pa zaprite oči in prisluhnite.
Well, firstly, we're in the Cinematheque and we've just been watching films, sitting down as audience members looking at the big screen. But this time we came in and we sat down, but it became apparent that we were going to be the movie. There's a camera looking at us, some lights, some gadgets, some tripods, lots of interesting tech. And Armand was there and then he said, if you have problems with strobe lights and it makes you feel a bit sick, don't worry, don't leave. Just put your hand over your eyes. And now we're going to begin and shut your eye. And then when all the nerves started going down of people feeling uncomfortable with their eyes shut and really trusting that we're all here with our eyes shut, the lights started to dim and you could tell that even with your eyes shut. And everything was very quiet. And then this wave of light and sound. My eyes are shut, but I really did feel like I was being bathed in light and sound and a wave. And it started from my toes and it came up through my guts and it came up through my chest and it went over my head and over the back of my hair. And I started to feel my hair sort of stand up and I started to feel really alert. It was like a bath of light and sound. And then all was quiet again. And then I was in the middle of the Big Bang, or we were in a battlefield because crack, bang, these sounds and cracks and crickles, they were so intimate and so loud and pierced right through my heart. And at the same time, these cracks were happening like big flashes of light.
Well, maybe we can start by describing the performance a bit. So it's a video audio performance and you create both, right?
Yeah, so it's a multimedia composition where I'm using video, which is projecting on people's faces with closed eyes. I'm using lights as well. And there is a surround sound piece, a multi-channel, like a 5.1 like in the cinema. And I'm adding a few custom equipment, such as a shutter for the beamer, if I want to create a real darkness and completely shut down the beamer. And I'm using a motorized speaker as well. So it's like a specific hyper-directional speaker which can send sound like a laser. And it's motorized, so the laser can move through the space and go on the people.
When I read about your performance, it sounds related to Flickr film, but then I watched the trailer for it, and it seems like you're not only relying on the stroboscopic effect of like flashing lights. So is that something that inspired you, or did you start somewhere else?
I was inspired by the like flickers and stroboscopes. I think that's what we are the most used to experience, like in electronic music scene or like in clubs and stuff. But I knew from the beginning it would not be like the only sequence I wanted to work on. The flickers are like it's one of the effects I'm using, like one of the compositional tools I'm using, but not the only one.
What are the other ones?
The other ones are more like even to work on colors. And to have flickers with colors, actually, it's quite rare. I mean, we don't see it in the clubs. And then to have the visuals made to be seen with two eyes, so like visually different for each eye. So I'm working with grids, or like with the, yeah, kind of some patterns which are like moving on faces. And so one eye is like, for example, blue, and the other one is red. Mm-hmm. And that's something I wanted to explore. So yeah, there are like flickers create the same visual for the two eyes, some for one eye each. And then, yeah, just to work on softness as well, with slow and soft patterns or speed, or not only to go on the harsh flicker effect.
What part of the performance are you doing live and what's pre-prepared?
So from the beginning I wanted it to be a film, so it's mostly fixed, it's fixed. Mm-hmm. So the video is completely fixed, the main sound piece as well. But then I'm playing with some things live. Some effects are a bit fragile, or like they could be too strong or too soft to like, trigger sensorial phenomenon. So I have to be in the space in order to control and play with those phenomena. So one is for the ear. I'm working like with, it's called auto-acoustic emissions. And by using some specific frequencies, I'm able to trigger sensorial phenomenon inside the ear. But it can be dangerous if it's too loud, or it's not working if it's not loud enough. So. And now there is also one sequence I'm playing live with the strobes, actually. Mm-hmm. And every time it's different.
When you were creating the film, did you primarily create it by looking at how it's projected into a room and if it looks interesting, or did you test pieces of the video on yourself with closed eyes, like projecting it on your eyelids?
So that was the funny part. It was like I had to invent the way to work with this kind of material. So at first it was very experimental, and I was just alone closing my eyes and trying different materials on myself, and like having a real-time control over it, so I could like control the scale of my visual patterns or like the colors, and then recording it. And then in post-production, like watching it again, closed eyes, and like adding markers, like closed eyes, like or even sometimes using a recorder, like being, oh, now something is happening, now something is happening. And so it was really like time-consuming to edit a film that you cannot see like on screen. But that was the interesting and funny part as well. So.
How long was the process?
The entire process took a bit less than 2 years. But it was in the context of research at the Art Science Interfaculty in the Netherlands. So that was not the only thing I was working on, but it was a bit the background, and like always trying on myself a lot, and then trying on different kind of audience. So art people, but not only. And every time I was projecting it and then filming at the same time. So I could see how people were reacting with body reactions, or like if they open their eyes, or if they leave the space, or if they start to move or to be completely in deep meditative state. And then I could like know if I was the only one to see what I was trying to work with, or if it was more universal.
Well, you write that this is a subjective film, so I guess the audience's reception is crucial. Now, after the creation process, do you also have still maybe some Q&As or this is an awful term, but feedback sessions with the audience so you can see what they experienced?
Actually, that's one of my favorite parts now. I like to keep it informal and natural and organic, and just at the end of the performance, give a bit of time to people like to take a breath and go outside a bit. But then the discussions are like so interesting, even if I'm not part of it, but just to listen to like people sharing their experience, and everybody goes into a very inner state and inner world with their own projections and images and mental projections. And then they start to compare it and to talk about it, and that's quite rare to talk about very intimate materials like this. And what is interesting is to see like some things are common, but some others are completely different. And some people will see colors, and some others don't. And then they're like, but how come you didn't see colors like in this? And then you start to reach like the points I would like to reach, like to talk about our perception and like our mental projections and like our imaginary.
I also read that you kind of experiment with different types of audience members, so maybe people with vision impairment, people who physically have altered perceptions.
So at first it was created in an art context. So my first audience was like art students, which are like very keen to go into quite intense experiences, and like they always want more, and like not being sitting but like being on a in the air while watching it. But at the same time, I wanted to keep it a bit like I don't know. My parents are my best audience, and they are not coming from art. And if they still are in the experience, like during the entire length of the movie, then I know I'm trying to have a composition that I like, where I'm like I have enough intensity, like to go into radical phenomenon. But at the same time, I'm not losing people like because of being too radical or too strong or too technical. So that's already like my first goal. And then I work with people with visual impairments. It was not that easy to discuss about it, because I guess I had a lot of expectations. On the theoretical part, it's very inspired by visual perception and like trying to reach first states of perception without knowing words or language, like as a child, when you're discovering colors of the world and this kind of theories, like by Stan Brakhage.
How did you approach that? Did you base the visuals on like some scientific discoveries of different frequencies?
So on the theoretical part, it's very much inspired by neurosciences and then trance studies. So mainly hypnosis and sleep studies as well, and dreams. And and then it's also like philosophy and even politics, like the place of the imaginary in politics. That was a bit one part of the theoretical research. And then I wanted to be surrounded by all those fields and ideas and theories and knowledge. And then I just wanted to be into this very experimental, empirical-based research. So it's really both. I mean, when you work with speakers and frequencies, you can have like some very specific knowledge about it, and like those frequencies are like triggering those states, and meditative states are like between your frequency ranges and precise knowledge about it. And some others, it's way more blurry and on the poetic side or on the experimental side.
When does the sound come in? Do you create it simultaneously with the visuals? Is it later?
So I'm coming from a music composition background. So it was a bit more my... I knew where I was going with the sound. So at first I really focused on the visuals, and especially because it was like all this time to learn how to work with this kind of closed eye visuals. But then it was pretty clear that I wanted to use very abstract sounds as the visuals as I want to be in this subjective kind of film, I want to be like quite neutral, and like to that all the projections that are happening in your mind are like yours and not mine. That's a bit the goal. So I started to compose then at the same time, like working with different kind of sequences, which are sometimes very visual focused and sometimes sound focused, and sometimes it's just like the two are like completely combined. So yeah, then it was at the same time like composing multi-sensory experience.
You said that you don't want the audience to, for you to project your perception on them. Do you still have like a general feeling in mind that you want them to feel at least at certain parts, or are you trying to make like just an interesting but neutral experience that they can interpret?
I composed thinking in terms of feelings and states of consciousness or cognitive states or just a sensorial phenomenon. So it's like I wanted to reach some very specific points where like you see this kind of visual patterns, or you feel fear, for example, or you feel comfort and you feel relaxed, and you go into this meditative state, or you go into this very hyperactive state where you don't know what's going to happen and your brain is completely active. And I also wanted to reach some hypnagogic states, which are like half sleeping states, where then it's completely your own projections, or at least it's really on the edge of like the of perception. So yeah, that was the kind of goals I had in mind like when composing.
Well, how do you experience the piece?
Now? To experience it again and again? Or?
Well, either or. Maybe like how you experienced it at the start and if it changed?
So that's a part I really like, actually. It's that's always different. And yeah, because it's so dependent of your own state and like the how you feel when you enter the space and when you sit. Do you feel are you stressed or relaxed? Do you have a lot of ideas in your mind at this time of the day or not? Also, it really depends on the time of the day. Like in the morning with a coffee, that's my favorite time to experience it. And if you drink one glass of alcohol, it's completely different. And I like it because then it's never boring to experience it for me. And then that's also like because I reached this kind of subjective cinema, so it's really subjective every time. And as I'm still playing some part live, for me it's very, I can always experiment a bit, try new materials, new ideas, play like with the, I can feel a bit the audience, so I'm with the people like sitting in the space as well. So I can always kind of feel like how people are around me, how they react, and do they laugh or do they jump or do they are completely into meditation or... And then, I can adapt and react to this as well.
So you're sitting with the audience or looking at the audience, like behind the
computer? I'm sitting with the audience.
Okay, in the audience, actually.
Yeah, okay. I'm closing my eyes and controlling some parameters, closed eyes, which is fun as well. But no, I really want to be like, in the same state and like same kind of reception state as everybody. And especially because I'm playing with those hard to reach phenomenon, it only works if I'm in the same state and like with my eyes accustomed like to the same darkness and lights. And yeah.
What kind of setup do you then have to alternate the different parameters?
I have a MIDI controller and I'm using music softwares, so it's really made to be played live. And I can access some video and sound and light parameters. So I have my controller, a very long cable going to the computer, and that's it.
Well, tonight we'll be seeing the performance in a film theater. Does that change the performance at all, the room itself?
So yeah, every time it can change some effects, especially for the sound, I would say, because some sounds I'm using are really triggering the space. They are made to trigger the surrounding space. So it's different in a cinema, which is quite dry and very short reverberation time. And it would be different in a church. And what I like in the cinema I find interesting is that it's a space made to enter this kind of state, which is a trance state actually, to watch images and project yourself into a story, which is then completely different than actually your direct surroundings. So I find it interesting that in our societies you have a space dedicated to this kind of experience, and the cinema is, that's exactly that. So people, when they enter it and they sit in a cinema, they know they will enter, they are here to enter this kind of state. So I guess it's changing a bit the experience as well.
What kind of spaces have you performed it in?
I really like to play with different contexts and fields and audience. So sometimes it's more in music venues, sometimes it's art galleries, and sometimes it's in like a living room and very small, everyday life spaces. And that's one of the strength, I think, of the project, is as you're closing your eyes and you enter a very inner state, very quickly you completely lose like perception of where you are actually. You can be surrounded by 100 people in a cinema or like by two people in a living room, and you're gonna enter the same kind of state.
Well, maybe we can now go back to the beginning, to end. We talked about Flickr film and these ideas that maybe inspired this idea, but can you tell me what started this whole project, how you came up with it?
Now, with a bit of distance, I think it started because of my music practice. I was in this electroacoustic music scene and conservatory, also called musique concrète in French, or acousmatic music. And the acousmatic term, it's really referring to a way of perceiving the world. The point is that you're going to experience it differently if you have closed or open eyes. And then the music piece is going to be different, or the experience will be different. So this kind of music is played live, but there are no stage and no musicians that you can see or look at. So you're just invited to close your eyes. So yeah, my practice was already like closed eye based and working with sound only. Sound and imagination, because then the point is that as your eyes are closed, it's easier to go deeper into very sharp awareness to sound, and to give space to imagination as well. So I guess I was working with acousmatic music, and then slowly I was like, what if I add lights? What could happen? Like if I add very soft light during the performance? It took years. And as I'm working as a sound designer, like in post-production for films, I'm also like used to work on visual and sound relations. And I had a few experiences of like strobe lights as well. And I guess it's like a lot of small experiences like this that slowly brought me there.
I have one more question about the title. For Spain, as I read, is actually the phenomena when like you rub your eyes and then see shapes, so seeing without light entering the eye. But here, light is entering the eye, it's just obstructed by the eyelids, so there's less light entering, right? How much of what we're experiencing do you think, or is in your experience from talking with the audience, from the actual light that you're projecting, and it should be the same every time, at least physiologically, and how much is just this combination of the sound and the light and the imagination? How much, I guess, do we project, and how much do you project onto us?
Yeah, that's the thin line I'm like composing with. So some sequences are like full of information, or even on the saturation part of sensory saturation. So I know people are going to see what I'm projecting, even if you never completely control like consciousness and awareness and attention. And some others are are made to be a bit more on the subtle side and to give space and to be less evident. So it really depends. Like at first I start with the first sequence is made to bring everybody in the same state. So it's kind of obvious what's happening and clear for the eyes. But what I really would like to reach is this state where you don't know if what you're seeing is coming from you or from the performance. And this can be frightening for some people, because then you realize like the reality is made by your own system and like mind and cognitive system and sensory system. But it's always nourished by the surrounding world. So yeah, I'm composing exactly with this kind of thinking.
Do you have any maybe suggestions or directions for an audience member to enter the performance and like a close to ideal state to experience it?
Don't drink too much alcohol. Don't open your eyes and yeah, feel a bit relaxed.
There are a few times where I just had to check the furniture that I was here. There was another point where it started with silence and darkness, and in the darkness, footsteps. It could have been human or it could have been a mythical thing was walking around me. And then another one was, there was two, and then there was three, and there was four, and then I realized it wasn't creatures at all, it was rain. I've never experienced anything like this performance where you make your own movie up with your eyes shut in your imagination, but you've got help from Armin with how he's bathed you in light and sound all around you. It was fucking cool.
Also, just I suppose the flashes, like you were describing before, of explosion. It felt like this, I don't know, medium, is that the right word? The way of having it where you shut your eyes and have lights shone on them was a really effective way of making something analogous to the experience of hearing. It's like hearing, but like, it sounds dumb. It was the most like hearing, but in another format that I've experienced. The other thing that I thought was really amazing was shutting your eyes and just having strobe like going, and you're just, I don't know, mesmerized, hypnotized. That was epic. Oh, and it was the most amazing directional speaker that I'd ever heard. I'd never heard such a thing. I was blown out by how just like, it was literally like, I was about to, when it first started, I was about to be like, hey, shut up. Like, I thought someone was moving over there, but it was a speaker like beaming it 3 meters to my right, and I'd never heard that level of accurate directionality from a speaker. Like, it blew me out of my mind. I was like, that's not real. That's a person actually moving.
Yeah.
But you were saying it was being described by him as like a subjective movie. So I guess it goes back to that. And in a similar way, instrumental music, because sound waves in themselves, arguably, I would say they harbour no meaning except that which is put onto them. Like it's like an abstract painting. It's just blah. Like, what does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean anything in itself, but you then overlay your input into that. And I think that's what a lot of this was about. In a similar way, what does a flash of light mean? Like, yeah. It depends on what you think.
I reckon maybe he might have had inspiration from, I don't know, certain moments of childhood where you're too tired but you're not asleep, but you're having a nap but you're awake, and it's daytime. You might be in a tent, or you might be just got a straw hat over your head.
It's a very primal feeling, hey?
Yeah, but you're not asleep because you're aware of the sounds, of the way, if you're on a sunbaking on a beach and you can hear the waves, but the light will change because someone's walked past, but you don't care because you're just in your moment.
Like, I don't know if I can really remember this, obviously, but like, I think like what you were saying, like being in utero, like you're just lying there in the, with no direct light, but there is, light is changing to you even in that really dark room, like you're still feeling something. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any finishing thoughts?
Everyone has to just, if you see Armin's name in a town near you, just go. And don't worry about like if your friends can't make it or whatever. Go to the movie solo. I do. And I don't regret it. It's mind blowing.
Yeah.
I've never experienced anything like that. It's very helpful.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it as well. And it's like nothing I've seen before. Very
it's
different
funny
experience.
How we're saying scene because our eyes were shut.
Well, this,
have you seen this?
I've noted. I've thought about this in the past because I'm always like, yeah, come see this thing, and I'm like, oh wait, but it's a listening thing.
Yeah.
Come experience it. I don't know.
Come experience.
Sometimes language
magical
witness.
Trip.
Yeah. Sometimes words are not enough. Yeah. But yeah, I would recommend it.
Shut eye cinema. That's the what's up now. Bring people back to the cinema. How are you going to do it? Shut your eyes. You are the movie.
Take a seat. Shut your eyes and open your mind.
Open your mind.
Na koncu se izkaže, da performance doseže svoj cilj. V pogovorih po Fosfenu se izkaže, da skoraj nihče ni videl enakih podob. Različni udeleženci so videli različne barve, svetlobo doživljali različno intenzivno ter opažali različne oblike in vzorce. Tako Fosfen v dnevih po meditativni individualni izkušnji performansa v gledalcu, v pričevalcu zares odpre vprašanja o lastni percepciji in o tem, kako subjektivno doživljamo vse, kar imamo za objektivno resničnost, ko so naše oči odprte. Rdečo, modro, belo, zeleno in rumeno je videla Vanja.
See, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig.